Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I am here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Wendy Wilson will be joining us for the first 20 minutes of the program today. After that, we will be talking about gold and silver and lots of things that are going on in the economy, some numbers that have come out earlier today, and we'll be talking about how about Texas legislator drops marijuana cigarette while speaking on the floor. Actually, it's not the legislators that need the marijuana cigarettes. It's the citizens. It's the taxpayers that need those cigarettes to figure out what's going on anyway.
But not before Election Day.
But nobody was smoking anything except gold today. Now, it wasn't really smoking, but it was up $9 today at $14.13. And we did have a high of $14.25, so $10 lower than the high today. So not a bad day. It's struggling. It's good to see it up over $14.00, though. Silver was up 14 cents today at $22.79. Silver's high today, $23. Platinum was up 15 at $15.34. Palladium was up 2 at $765. They hammered the dollar today. Big day when the dollar's down 1.03 on the USDX at 81.51. Crude oil today was up 88 cents at 94.62. And we had some big swings in the paper markets today. Let me get to my report. You had the stocks ended up a little bit higher. Initially, though, in earlier trading, they had about a 2% sell-off, and which is about 160 points at one point in time. And it ended up 80 points. So always that last hour of trade, man, they come in there and it's like, can't have it. Bilderbergers are having their meeting, so we need to make sure we don't go too low here in the Dow. You had the Dow up 79 points at 15,040. They had to get it back over 15. The NASDAQ up 22 at 34.24. S&P up 13 at 16.22. And, of course, you had the 10-year yield fall back a little bit today, 2.08%. Euro is trading 131. So you're finding, of course, when we see a little bit of strength in the euro, you see pressure on the dollar. And someone's out there making some interesting predictions here that's going to happen in the next month. We'll talk about that when we come back from the second break. But first, I want to say hello to Al, and then second, I want to say hello to Wendy.
Okay, I'll say hello first, and then Wendy, you can say hello second. How's that?
Okay, hello.
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 I said it twice. You said say it twice. They said hello.
Good enough.
Okay.
Wendy Wilson, of course, is from Apothecary Herbs.
That's right.
At thepowerherbs.com, true?
This is correct.
Okay. And she's our resident nutritionist and health guide and so on. And let's start with, there's an article from the New York Times. The headline is, Seeking Food Ingredients That Aren't Gene Altered. Food companies, big and small, are struggling to replace genetically modified ingredients with conventional ones. Pressure is growing to label products made from genetically modified organisms, or GMO. In Connecticut, Vermont, and Maine, at least one chamber of the state legislature has approved bills that would require the labeling of foods that contain genetically modified ingredients, and goes on from there. But it indicates that political pressure and consumer pressure has reached a level where some state governments and companies are beginning to realize that these GMOs may be a loser financially.
Right,
so
exactly.
What's
and you know
comment?
What, Al? You know what, Al? You know what the hottest magazine right now on the market is? It's called Mother Earth News. And the reason is that whole magazine is geared towards homesteading. Just about everything in there is, how do I can? How do I grow foods? How do I get seeds that aren't GMO? How do I, you know, it's just, you know, how do I do this? You know, because if there's going to be an infrastructure collapse, we want to be ready. So this is the hottest magazine, and people are just flocking to this thing. And I encourage Melanie to look into, you know, getting an ad in there, even if it's a, you know, classified, because people are looking at being more independent and less dependency on the system. That includes banking.
I agree. You know, they've got, I can't think of the name of it, some sort of robot programs that search the internet for keywords, key phrases.
Bots.
When they see these, the frequency rising around the world, they've been used to even predict attacks, terrorist attacks, and they've had a little bit of correlation. People start talking about bombings in Spain, and next thing you know, you actually have them. Now, I'm wondering if you think that something like that is going on in the public. It's not happening on the internet necessarily, but people in the same way are just thinking more and more about what's going to happen in a worst-case scenario. They are preparing for it. Do you think that's evidence?
Yeah.
That maybe that worst case is getting a lot closer, or is it just kind of coincidence?
No, no. I think you're spot on, actually. Very good instincts there, Al. Recently, there was a research company that took a poll. It was the Anderson, Robbins, and Shaw and Company, and they discovered, get this, a majority of Americans, it didn't matter if they were Republican, Democratic, Independents, all economic groups, ages, whatever, they're bracing for the worst. And they know Obamacare, when that kicks in, it's going to be even worse for them medically, especially the baby boomers. So the poll, Al, Melanie, showed that 53% of Americans don't want the Affordable Care Act. They want to go back to the former health care system. And what's even more revealing from this poll, Al, is that Americans were viewing the Obamacare, if you will, as a scheme. And, you know, a scheme is, you know, is someone who is plotting against you. So the Americans are looking at the attack at one of the largest private sectors of the economy is under attack, and they are going to pay big. So Americans, you know, aren't as stupid and as sheeple as we thought.
That's a good point. And what has to be done then? I mean, they're not ignorant. They do know. They understand. They're sympathetic to the kinds of ideas we talk about.
Right.
What gets them to move and act? Do they act in concert, or are they just acting in coincidence in the sense that I think there's a problem coming, you think, Melody think, we're not acting together, but yet we're acting in the same way, if you follow what I'm saying.
What makes them
act in concert to have real political power?
Well, you know, it's I guess it's I guess what motivates people is, you know, this the same old thing. It's pain and reward. Those are the motivators basically in life. And you know, I think for the most part, people are overwhelmed. I think they're overloaded with all the events that are taken away. I mean, we're so connected globally. There's all kind of chaos going all over the world, and I think people are kind of just flooded and overwhelmed and saturated with all this stuff. Plus, you know, they've been witnessing some of the things that their leaders and their courts are doing. And, you know, these are institutions that are supposed to, we're supposed to be a land of laws, but we're acting like a land of men, you know, tyrants, you know,
yeah.
And people ask me all the time, what are we going to do? Well, you know, where's the righteous men here? You know, that stand up for righteousness sake. If you want to get a look, I think people have forgotten, Al, what righteousness looks like. What behavior is righteousness? Because all I have to do is remember this story in the Bible in the first book of Samuel in chapter 25. It was very cool. David was, you know, kind of in the countryside with 600 of his men because Saul was after him, King Saul at the time. And while he was out in the wilderness with his men, he was safeguarding the shepherds and some flocks there, you know, protecting them from thieves, you know, rebels. And the owner of the flocks was a rich man. His name was Nabal. And I find this interesting. In Hebrew, his name means fool. And so David sends three of his men to tell Nabal, hey, don't worry, we got your back. You have nothing to worry about. We are looking after the flocks. They're under our safe, watchful eye. So just wanted you to know that. And Nabal rebuffed these guys. He just was very ungrateful and rude. And he sent the men on their way. And guess what David did there? What do you suppose King David did there, Al?
I can't remember clearly, and I should be able to, but I'm probably mistaken about that, but it almost sounds as if before this was done, Nabal lost his head.
Yeah, well, here's the thing.
Am I correct on that? Am I remembering correctly, or am I mistaken?
Well, you're about right. When David heard of this, he told 400 of his men, "Strap on your swords. We're going to pay Nabal a visit." And by the way, Nabal's mine. Okay, because in those days, if you rewarded good with evil, you risked death. Okay,
yeah,
and that's what righteousness looks like. And people have just forgotten about it. Well, all this politically correct crap. You know, I'm just sick. You know, where are the righteous men? So, of course, you know, fortunately for Nabal, had a smart wife called Abigail. And one of the shepherds told her, hey, David's men were here. And she knew David was looking after them. And so she was horrified to learn what happened. And so she didn't know he had come and gone. His men had come and gone. So she did what any good woman would do. She loaded up all the asses and horses that she had with all these wonderful cakes and meats and things, you know, for a feast. And she met David's men on the way because David's men were going to kill everybody. That's what you did then, right? And so she fell on her face when she met David, and she pretty much said, my husband's an idiot. But I know you're a good guy, and you don't kill innocent people. So David accepted her peace offering, and he did not go to the camp, and he didn't kill Nabal or anybody. But Nabal was drunk when the wife got back to the camp. He had his own little feast party going on. And the next day when he sobered up, she'd let him know what happened. And he was sick in his heart. God said his heart became stone, and guess what? He died in 10 days.
I love a happy ending. I love a happy ending. What can I tell you, Wendy?
Hey, the answer to all the world's problems is in the Bible. I believe it. So
I understand that. It's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to communicate with people. It's a hard thing to make people, because I wouldn't have believed this earlier in my life either.
Mm-hmm.
I would have sat back and said, this isn't knowledge that comes to you early in life, or at least not to me. But you do get to a point where you say, you know, I think they got a point here. I think there's something to be learned. I'm not critical of people who don't yet get it, but what we're talking about right now has, for the last 20 years or more, been unfashionable. it's been as outdated as buying a bustle for your girlfriend or your wife. No,
right.
It's old news. Nobody wants a bustle anymore. I mean, we are starting to talk about righteousness again, however, uh-huh. I think in part because people are beginning to get the idea. They're beginning to understand, wait, there is a point to this.
Yeah,
this is not just some mythology. This works. This is not just possible. It's necessary.
Well, here's
you
got to
grab hold of this or you're going to pay a terrible price.
Well, see, there's lessons in the Bible. God's pointing things out to you. He says, you know, Nabal, for instance, you know, he was blessed. He was wealthy. But he was what God called a churlish man. And churlish means stingy, greedy, crude, brutish, and evil. And you know, everybody thinks God's a tolerant God. He is to a point, but, you know, he has to judge sin. So if they think, you know, they're going to get to the judgment seat of God and they've committed all these sins in life, you know, they're going to find out God's got to judge sin or he's a liar. So I think they think of God as some, you know, very forgiving, tolerant guy. He's going to forgive all these sins, but they're going to find different. I think so.
I think that's probably the case. And the only thing that bothers me about that opinion is I know that I am not guiltless, and I will presumably be judged by the same standards that I welcome for Obama.
Speaking of Obama, because, you know, a churl man, according to God's word, says his evil and devises wicked devices to destroy the poor, while lying words, even when the needy speak righteously. So they'll lie to your face, and they'll do the opposite. And I think that's the whole idea, is to keep people off kilter, guessing, you know, not settled, you know, and to keep people unsettled and anxious.
And do you know why? Part of the reason is the very people that they are deceiving are the ones that are least likely to lie themselves. It's a strange situation from my perspective. People, we sit here and say, well, he wouldn't lie to us. He's the president.
Right?
That's a foolishness. And yet it's exactly the way the mindset of the most decent people tend to operate. The decent people can't imagine other people being indecent.
Well, we don't.
And therefore they give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, righteous people don't think that way. They don't have that evil mindset. And to be as wise as, you know, as a fox and as gentle as a dove, we're instructed to be. So we're supposed to be on our toes and understand how evil operates and to know the enemy. And, of course, you know, in Psalms 10, God says this, the wicked in his pride doth prosecute the poor. But God also says, let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. So, you know, these things that they're laying a trap for everybody else actually catches them in the end.
But I can't wait. You know, it's one of those things. I wish the good Lord would make that happen sooner rather than later, because I'd like to live to see it. You understand? I've been kind of waiting on it for a considerable period of time, and I would like to see it. So it's something to look forward to. We've got, what do we got? Just a minute left here. Let me get a quick question.
Okay.
There's something called the Budwig diet, which involves using flaxseed oil and cottage cheese primarily. Now, it sounds silly, but is it something you know about? And do you think it's an old wives' tale? Is it quackery or is it legitimate?
Well, I think in times past it might have been a benefit, but not anymore because of the dairy products you have now. Unless you're getting, you know, your cottage cheese from a local farmer that doesn't inoculate his cows and inject them with growth hormones, because all that stuff is getting into the dairy product itself. And any cheese product is 10 times the concentration of milk. So you're getting all kinds of nonsense in there, and I would avoid it. So is this pretty much for weight loss? Is that what people are looking at it for?
No, it's actually supposed to fight cancer.
Oh, just use dandelion root. Dandelion root gets cancer in a skinny minute.
All right. Why don't you give folks a fast reference if they want some dandelion roots or more information about them? Where can they find you, Wendy?
Dandelion root probably in your yard right now, America. But if you want some certified organic dandelion, you can just call us at Apothecary Herbs. We have that covered for you. Toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And, of course, our web address is thepowerherbs.com. We also have thepowerherbs.net, so that's a new domain. You can get to us that way as well.
Good. All right, Wendy, thanks very much. We'll talk to you again next Thursday.
Okay, and we do have a Father's Day special on, 15% off, so check it out on the website.
All right, bear it in mind. Thank you, Wendy.
Bye.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll take a commercial break and be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here at Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs, what's the special du jour, Melody?
We ran a special earlier in the year, and it was very popular. And it's one way that you can pick up your bullion coins at a very cheap price, very inexpensive price. You have to purchase... two items, a $20 gold piece in mint state 61. At the price on that going rate today is $1,800. But you'll be able to buy your 1-ounce gold eagle coin at $20 over spot. So it's a good little way to pick up some inexpensive 1 ounce Gold Eagle coins along with a mint state coin, and that's how you should be purchasing your gold and your gold product anyway. Now all they have to do is give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And I just want to make a brief quick announcement. I'm going to be gone for a few days on business, and during that time I'm also going to include a little R&R in there. It's going to be an interesting trip, and I'm going to try and do some programs while I am away. But I also want you to know that the office is in full force. My staff is perfectly capable of taking your trades and processing. If I didn't have trust in them, they wouldn't be working here. So I encourage you to give them a call and show them that they don't need Melody. But just to let you know, I'm always a phone call away. So if it's so if you do need to talk to me about your order, your trade, don't hesitate to leave a message, and I will return your call. So again, we appreciate your support. This is not possible without you. A lot of our funds that our profit goes right back into these programs. They go right back into educating. And we sponsor Dr. Stanley Monteith. We have this program. We sponsor Lori Roth. Raleigh James is coming back to the airwaves shortly. So we support a lot of people in order to bring the truth to the folks out there so they can prepare to what's facing them in the very near term. So we thank you, and sometimes we don't thank you enough, and that needs to be said. We thank you for your support.
Okay, Melody, what's our next subject du jour?
Well, I got a call earlier, and I must have received 20 emails regarding this one stockbroker, newsletter writer. He's been around for a while, and he's made some good calls over the years, and he's also made some bad calls over the years. But the latest prediction to buy the newsletter and is a 92 on the USDX, along with a low in gold of 1,080 and silver $15 to $17. Now, the gold and the dollar are supposed to happen by the middle of July, with silver along by the middle of August. And my personal belief, Al, is I believe if they wanted 92 in the dollar, it would have already happened. And if they wanted a lower gold price than what we're seeing today, that also would have happened 2 months ago, because they had all the momentum behind them. When you had a 200-point drop in gold, if they had wanted it to go further, that was their opportunity to do so. So I find these numbers
irrational. It seems like he might be getting his numbers from the psychic hotline, which is same place Obama gets his economic numbers, from what I understand. I think they've got Dionne Warwick. Maybe she's running the psychic hotline again. I'm not sure. But they may be providing the numbers our government uses to base its brilliant decisions on how to run the economy and take care of all of us little people. I got one here I want to talk about just briefly. Here's a comment from read this in one of the newsletters I glanced at earlier this morning, and I don't remember who wrote this, but it raises an interesting point. And he writes, "Everybody and his brother is bearish." He's speaking about gold. "I get sent two articles a day about some knucklehead who's bearish on gold. Well, you know what? They're all bearish for the same two reasons. The chart looks bad and the price is wrong. Like they know what the price should be. How do any of us know what the price is supposed to be? It's just a price." He's making a point here that's interesting. The essence of profiting in the markets is buy low and sell high. I don't care what it is, you got to buy something at $100 and sell it at $200, and then you make a $100 profit. If you buy at $100 and it turns out you got to sell at $50, guess what? you are going to lose your assets. All right? It is the fundamental idea that you buy low and you sell high. Now, when is the price low? And the price is typically low when the demand is least, right? When most people aren't buying, when most people are in a bearish mood, they say, oh, my gosh, this isn't working. That's when the price is low. And if you are going to prosper in the market, you have to buy low and sell high. That means you buy when everybody else says, not now, this is a bearish market, I don't want to do this now. And you sell when it peaks. When everybody's jumping in and say, yay, yay, that's when you have to sell the product. Well, the point is that we are living in circumstances where the negative comments about gold have been persistent for some time, and the price is certainly down. And it's the sort of thing that you sit back and you say, wait a second. If you're going to buy low and sell high, that's where we are right now, aren't we? We're at one of those low spots. We're at one of those low spots where people are concerned, they're doubtful. Then all I'm saying is it may be, it's just evidence that now may be the time to go. Man, it's time to buy. Comex Warehouse registered gold ounces. I've got a graph in front of me. And who put this together? I don't recall. Well, it was presented by La Metropole Cafe. They were the one that brought it to my attention, one of their articles, and it registers. There's a graph here of registered gold ounces at COMEX, and they point out that whenever the number of ounces drops to a low is typically a signal for another boom in the price of gold. And in fact, you can't see the graph, I understand that, but they had a serious drop back about 2010, and then gold jumped up into 2011, then it dropped, the supply dropped dramatically in mid to late 2011, and then it peaked again 2012, prices were and we are now again at a very near record. We're not quite at a record low in terms of COMEX gold, according to this registered gold ounces, but we're close to that. And if you could see the graph that I'm trying to describe, you would say, ha, you know, I think this guy's got a point. Whenever the quantity of gold at COMEX, registered gold, drops down to a low, and we are very near a record low, when it hits that bottom, it signals we are headed for another big spike upward. I think it's certainly not proof, but it's evidence that another leaf in the breeze that signals that we are likely to see gold rise significantly over the balance of the year. What are the best months? I know December. I know fourth quarter is typically the best quarter for gold, Melody. Do you know which quarters are the worst for gold?
Usually going into the summer can be the worst months for gold. You know, the old sell in May and go away. You get the summer doldrums for gold. You have half of Europe that is on vacation. Pretty much August, everything is shut down. And even our traders here are gone a lot for the summer. So usually summer can be the worst months. And that's why this guy made the prediction for probably July and maybe middle of August for silver. He's expecting the summer turn down in the precious metals. But I don't think we're in markets that really support. I think perhaps we're going to see buying as is than what we're seeing now. I don't think it's going to go much less than this. But in these markets, you're going to have volatile markets. Look at the numbers. I mean, we've been saying for years you're going to have these volatile markets in gold and silver. And all these predictions, they have to come out with these drastic predictions or nobody else would listen to them. You know, people want to gravitate to they want the shock value. Oh, my God, gold's going to 1,000 and silver 15. I better not buy today. I better wait. I'll pay for the newsletter and then sign up so I can buy some paper stocks. And, you know, this person must know what's going on. Folks, you stick to the plain old fundamentals of gold and silver. We talk about the economy on a daily basis. The euro is not going to go away. These world currencies need to be stabilized because they continue to manipulate their currencies to affect their trade. It has to stop. It will stop, and they will use gold in order to stabilize these currencies. Thereas, you have a world government currency. You're going to have a unit of trade that is either in a basket of currencies to stabilize or its own unit of gold. I believe it will be in a basket of currencies to stabilize all the currencies. They have an agenda. The agenda is going to go through. It's going to be completed. They're going to try and complete it. I believe, yes, we have man, and he can try and stop their agenda, but there's only one that can really turn it around. And I believe when you look at our faith here in this country, we got a lot of work to do. So if we're going to need help. So you got to get prepared, not only with your finances, but with your food, your water, your health. That's why it's so important to stay healthy, because the Obamacare is not going to help you. There isn't anything that's going to help you but yourself.
Well, yourself and the good Lord, that's what it comes down to. You got to do what you can as best you can to take care of yourself. And I don't doubt that the governments of the world may prefer to have a basket of currencies. But I don't think it's going to work, because inevitably each nation, one of them is going to say, look, my people are going to riot if I don't get some more jobs. We've got to devalue our currency in order to attract more, in order to sell more products to foreign countries. And as soon as they start, we're just back in currency wars when we have a basket of currencies. They are going to constantly, each
these
nation will try to.
These currencies are going to have to be stabilized somehow.
Now, the only way you're going to stabilize them is you're going to make them into gold.
Exactly.
You're going to have something that is at least gold-backed or significantly gold-backed.
I believe we're too far gone in order just to have a simple gold-backed currency. I believe with the interconnection, the global connection of all, the only thing that I believe is going to be some sort of a basket of currencies. I mean, and they'll be stabilized. They're going to fluctuate, but they're not going to be able to manipulate them to the degree that they do today. And
if they have a basket of fiat currencies, they may not manipulate them initially, but inevitably they will.
If gold is,
it's an irresistible temptation.
I don't think you understand. I think gold is going to be in that basket of currencies.
Oh, all right. That's another story.
That's what I'm talking about.
Gold is going to play nothing's going to stabilize until they go back to a significant degree to gold. And it won't be enough for gold to be 10% of the basket. Gold's going to have to be a bunch, and it's going to have to be priced much higher.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, gold will be a major part of that basket. It's not going to be 100%, but it will be a major. I don't think anybody really knows how gold will be used, to the degree it will be used, but we, or in what price it will be at. But what we do agree on, it will be a major player. It will be the only player in order to stabilize these currencies to prevent the situations that we're having right now. That's only one part of the problem, you know. The other problem is you're having a collapsing of the system. The systems are going to be purged, and at the same time. So, again, the only way people can really help themselves, and you're right, by the good Lord, we know that, but by being proactive, having the courage to go against mainstream, and lots of times the Internet is very important to educate yourself. But think about what you read, and there's just so much, again, drastic and predictions and shocking predictions, and that's what they do. They bring shock value to you.
And people like shock value, though. Like, it's a little bit like we watch TV at night and we see the murder mysteries. A lot of us like horror films. We go to Six Flags or the different amusement parks that have all the rides, and we get, ooh, it's scary, it's whatever. There is a peculiar tendency in people. We like scary stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we don't only like it on television at night when we read in our novels and whatever. I think we also like it in our government, in our news. Ooh, did you see that? We know it's not really scary, but still there's something about us that likes to play along with it. Hard to say, but there's something peculiar about the way people think and what they enjoy. And we'll talk more about that when we return in about 3 minutes. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Let's move on and talk about the Texas legislator. This is in the Tribune Herald, which I guess is coming out of Austin, Texas. Headline is Texas legislator drops marijuana cigarette while speaking on floor. He's talking about speaking on the floor of House of Representatives in Texas. While speaking during the Texas legislative session, Representative Tom Alvin, Republican, Altruria, dropped something unexpected on the House floor. Upon picking up the item, cameras caught a glimpse of what appeared to be a marijuana cigarette. He quickly put it back in his pocket as legislators looked on and then continued to speak. Several Department of Public Safety officers, that would be the police, of course, were on hand but did not seem concerned about Representative Alvin's possession of an illegal substance. Ironically, the bill being discussed pertained to decreasing penalties for the possession of small amounts of cannabis. If passed, the bill would change state law and no longer jail those with small amounts and would instead require only a fine. Mm-hmm. Representative Alvin spoke in opposition to the bill, stating,
Marijuana is a deadly and dangerous drug. It ruins people's lives and is so addictive that people can become hooked on it by just touching it. Huh? There's more to the story, but I don't need to go any further. You understand how stupid this is? We have a man speaking against marijuana on the floor of the House of Representatives in Texas, and he drops a marijuana cigarette out of it on the floor and picks it up, puts it back in his pocket, and the police don't mind. And on top of which, he thinks you can be hooked by just touching it. This guy, he may be evidence. It may be that Representative Elvin is good evidence to stay the heck away from marijuana, because apparently it does do things to your mind. Apparently. Look what it's done to him. Yeah?
He needs to move to Colorado.
I guess.
Then he wouldn't have to worry. Yeah, that's amazing. It's just another sign, folks, you know, how it's... I don't even have anything to say to that.
No, it's just bizarre. It's just bizarre. You become addicted by just touching it. Good grief. I don't remember. You know, they had some other guy in Congress. This goes back probably 4 or 5 years ago, a congressman. And he was explaining that if they send too many people out to an island, I think maybe he was talking about Guam. I don't remember. One of the island territories of the United States. And he was explaining how if we sent too many people out there, they would overload the island and it would sink. This is a congressman. This is a true story. The guy actually thought that the island floated on the water. And you wonder why this country is in trouble. But the comedians are doing well.
Well, what you about know? Anthony Weiner? Here's a guy, totally disgraced because he decided to have some fun on the internet. And he gets to run for mayor of New York.
Yeah.
I mean, how does this work? Maybe he's been smoking too much, too, because I can't even imagine what type of a person that you are after being so disgraced to stand up and say and actually run for an office, even though it is for New York. And I know I got a lot of New York listeners and clients, but, you know, it's just
it's just expression of his contempt for the voters.
Yes.
It's just recognition that if you are a good con artist, a good hustler, if you can look them in the eye and lie to them, it's like that old joke. I saw Mickey Rooney tell this story one time, and I thought it was hilarious. He's talking about being an agent in Hollywood, and he says the secret to this business is sincerity, and once you learn how to fake that, you got it made. It's the same thing with politicians. Once they learn how to fake being sincere, they've got it made. Here's one from the Internal Revenue Service, regarding the Internal Revenue Service. This is in the Washington Times. It says the IRS's Anaheim trip far from costliest. They've reported one of these trips, they spent $4.1 million on a conference in California. And the headline says the Anaheim trip is far from costliest. Two agency officials placed on leave. Well, let's do a little of the article, and then we'll talk about the two agency officials placed on leave. When calculated on a per-person basis, the Anaheim conference's $1,600 per attendee price tag was only the 46th most expensive one the agency's held in the past 3 years, and is dwarfed by the $5,600 paid for each attendee at a 2012 training session for new employees. Two other costly training sessions in 2012 came to nearly $5,000 and $3,600 a person, according to Washington Times analyst. And they go on from there. But in order, they are going to get tough now. You know, the IRS has been wasting money, and you know how Congress hates to waste money. If there's any agency, if there's any institution in this country, Melody, that has always been staunchly against wasting money, it's your Congress. These people are here. Boy, they are dedicated to being responsible when it comes to the taxpayers' dollars. So they're going to get tough on the IRS. And as a result, two agency officials are placed on leave. Now, they're going to go out on administrative leave, which means they're going to be paid, but they don't have to go to work. Okay? So my question is, what's the difference between an administrative leave, Melody, and a paid vacation? Huh? Are these people being punished? They say, that's it. You can't come to work anymore. We're going to keep paying you, but you can't come to work. Now you're sorry, aren't you? Are they being punished or are they being rewarded? That's what I'd like to know.
Sounds like a reward to me, but it's just another sign. But Leno said it the best. We talked about this during the break. IRS can't determine Powerball winners' taxes until they know if she's a Republican or a Democrat.
Yeah.
So you're right. These guys certainly do get to have a lot of material after, with everything that's going on.
I can't even think of the proper term. They have a variable income tax rate. And the people who make the least amount of money allegedly pay the smallest percentage, and the people who make the most supposedly pay the highest percentage, and I can't think of the proper term for that. What is it? Do you remember?
No.
You understand what I'm talking about?
I'm not.
It's like fractional reserve tax paying or something. Instead of that, instead of having a higher tax rate, if you make more money, apparently we're headed in the direction where your tax rate will be determined by your political affiliation. And if you're particular, if you didn't support Obama, then you're going to pay more taxes. And if you did support Obama, you'll pay less taxes. And when Obama's gone and the next president's in, if you're betting on the right horse, guess what? You pay less taxes. I think it might be a good system, Ellie.
Sounds like
it. Taxing us on the basis, I'm not sure if it's good or bad, but I'm rolling it around the back of my mind. Instead of taxing people according to their income, let's tax them according to their politics.
Well, you talk about them paying. You don't know if it's a reward and so forth. Why was $332 million in federal worker bonuses paid out in 2012? Here you have a new federal payroll database was obtained showing $105 billion in federal wages, including $332 million in 2012 bonuses, and identifies the government's biggest payouts going to workers who deal with natural disasters. Now, why would they get bonuses to deal with a natural disaster?
Well, I don't know. It depends on what they call a national disaster or a natural disaster. Natural disaster might be when the people find out that the IRS has been doing something they're not supposed to be doing. But I'm interested in the ad or in the numbers that you're talking about. If I understand you correctly, did you say that they paid out $1 billion?
They paid out
wages over the years 105. What did you say? 105 billion or 1 billion?
$105 billion, right, dollars in federal wages, including the $332 million in 2012 bonuses.
Well, that's not a big amount of bonuses on a percentage basis.
Not, it's not compared to $105 billion. My point is bonuses. Why would you get bonuses at a because you respond? Working.
Well, those are probably for the people who are actually doing their job. I saw another one. I don't know that I have it up here where we can talk about it directly, but they found an EPA, Environmental Protection Administration warehouse, out on the East Coast, maybe Connecticut, I don't recall where. And the EPA employees had divided the warehouse off into a number of private recreation rooms, where apparently they had some recreation rooms that were for everybody, and they had some that were just for each individual, had his own recreation room with some amount of recreation equipment that they got from someplace. And they're just running. Their job is to just sit around and goof off. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. On one hand, you know, I have mixed emotions on this. I don't want to pay these people just to sit around and goof off. On the other hand, you don't want them to be working any harder than they are. We'll be in more of a police state than we already endure. So what do you think is better, Melody? Should we maybe let all of the government employees have their own recreation rooms and don't do any work at all? Or should we fire them? Or should we make them work harder? What do you think?
Well, I think it's going to be difficult to make them work harder, but a lot easier to let them play.
That's probably right.
And the taxpayers don't really care, so.
Actually, it's probably less expensive to let them play.
Maybe, yeah.
Then get them out on the street where they're trying to regulate and tell us what to do. Okay, you guys just go play in the warehouse, and we will go about our jobs and our lives, and we'll see if we can make enough money where we can afford to keep you parasites in the style to which you've become accustomed.
The highest paid, a medical officer, Stephen Friedman of the Indian Health Services in New Mexico, he received an award of $66,000 on top of his $290,000 a year salary. He is also one of the highest paid federal employees in the nation. The highest paid is a doctor with the Veterans Health Administration who made $398,000 last year. And that is just $1,600 less than Obama's paycheck.
Well, has he done as much harm to the country as Obama's done?
Yeah.
He's actually probably providing more medical care all by himself than Obamacare will provide
forever
after it taxes us into poverty or unemployment or whatever. The whole thing is just so wrong. It's at times it's overwhelming. Where do you start to clean this mess up? You know, each of us probably feels a little bit like Hercules when he's called on to clean out those stables. I can't remember the Stygian stables or something like that. Either Hercules, who was allegedly called, they hadn't been cleaned in decades, and he managed to clean all the horse manure out of there. How do you do that with the government? Does anyone know how to get all the horse manure out of the government, or even a substantial, not even all of it, just a lot of it? How do we get most of the horse manure out of government? Anyone know? I'll bet you don't.
One pile at a time.
Yeah, I guess. That's the theory, but they're generating it faster. There's the problem. The government seems to be generating the horse manure faster than we can shovel it. All right, we get one pile out and two piles appear. Then you get the two piles out, you got four piles. It seems like horse manure is our government's most important product. But what else, Melody? We got about a minute left. Here's a federal judge. Let me see if I've got this one. Here's a federal judge accused of saying minorities predisposed to commit violent crime. A federal appeals judge in Texas is accused of saying minorities are more apt than other groups to commit crime, and the complaints of racial bias in death sentencing are a red herring. Uh-oh. We got a federal judge who is not, he's not politically correct, Melody.
Uh-oh.
He said something in public that didn't enhance all of our self-esteem. He's suggesting that minorities are more prone to commit crimes than majorities. Uh-oh. I don't know what's going to happen to the man, but maybe they'll put him on administrative leave also. We're going to pay your salary and put you off the bench for the next 6 months. Won't that be a terrible penalty? We'll talk more about government penalties manana. I'll be back with Roger Sales tomorrow. I want to thank all of you for listening. I hope you'll tune in again. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's just